of poetry, right? And Dr. Keating was enraged by that. Why? Because poetry is about the journey of the heart, right? Poetry is about the things that the heart was created to experience, enjoy, things like beauty and romance and love. Right? Oh me, Whitman says, oh life, of the questions of these recurring, of the endless trains, of the faithless, of cities filled with the foolish. What good amid these, oh me, oh life? What Whitman's saying there is, I live in a sea of people. There's millions of us, and the cities are filled with them, of foolish and faithless people. What does my life matter? What does my life matter? It's just me, right? And then the answer, that you are here, that life exists, and identity. And the powerful play goes on. And that you might contribute a verse. What will your verse be? I love the way the camera goes up to that young man's face. And he realizes, what will my verse be? Right? Do I fit in some large story here? Good morning. Welcome. I want to try to awaken some things in you this morning. I want to try to reawaken some things that some of you have experienced an awakening and then you've gone back to sleep. Some things have been slumbering. I want to try to rouse them while we've been busy, you know, being good men, perhaps being good women, you know, busy doing lots of different things, maybe even spiritual things, things at church, you know, some things have been sleeping. Maybe on the side we're living some secret hidden things, right, going on. Well, all that's been happening, something's been asleep, and I want to try to wake it up. Think back with me over your life, okay? Just take a minute. There's been a couple of different journeys that your life has taken over the course of your life, okay? Just think back with me when you were really small, preschool, right? Remember when you were little? Do you have any memories of that time? Think back to those memories. What pictures come to mind? What feelings come to mind? Who were you then? How do you remember life being then? Maybe a little bit older, okay? You're you know, grade school, first through fifth grade. Who were you then? Do you remember being at school? Do you remember your favorite teacher? Do you remember falling in love with your teacher? Mrs. Ketchy's first grade class. She was beautiful. Black hair, blue eyes. I don't remember if she had blue eyes, but in my memory she has them. What feelings come to your mind when you think of you in grammar school? Remember? Just think about the memory. If you were to see a picture of you as a second or third grader, what would that child's face look like? What expression would he or she have? Think about a little older, you know, pre-adolescence, 11, 12, junior high age. Who were you then? What was life like for you then? What did you feel then? What feelings are associated with that time in your life? What was family like? What was school like then? Good feelings come to your mind when you think about that time in your life? What pictures do you remember? Playground pictures. You know, you on the playground. You with the neighborhood kids. Maybe playing catch, playing games, other things going on with neighbor kids that age. Think about high school, okay? Now you're a teenager, right? Do you remember your first date? Right? What was he or she like? Your first kiss. what feelings are associated with that. Not good for me. I don't remember her name, but it was gross. The next girl that I kissed, it was really good. So, but this girl, sorry. Somehow that feels wrong to say, but it's true. Do you remember your first car? Like the time when you first had wheels and you could get in and what did you do when you came home with your license? Do you remember what you did? What was the first thing you did? Where did you go first? To your friend's house, right? By yourself. You know, somewhere where you could go and say, look, right? Remember your first job? Remember that? What was that like? Did that go well? What pictures come to your mind when you think of that? Good ones? I worked for Del Taco. At the window. I got fired in a month. I learned that retail was not my specialty. But how about the first time you traveled away from home? You went to another city by yourself. Remember that? Maybe off to college for you, if you went to college. Remember some of you in the room? Marriage, right? Meeting your spouse, the romance of that, one thing leading to another, right? The wedding, the honeymoon. What feelings are associated with that? Any pictures come to your mind? Let yourself go there for a second. And then children came along, right? You remember your firstborn child? You remember those moments in the hospital? Or maybe some of the moments before when you first heard the heartbeat, you know, the little engine that could, you know, the thing sounds like a rabbit or something in there, like a little tiny locomotive. But then you have this child and the first time you held her or him. And then the past times that your family's had. The seasons come and go throughout our lives. And you have lived an external life, and you have lived an internal life. Okay? The external you, I think that's my phone back there, on the floor by your feet. You can turn it off, but I bet, or you could take the battery out. That'd probably be better. You've lived an external life. That's the you that people see, right? Who you were in school. Were you the smart kid? Were you the athletic kid? Were you the nerd? You know? Who were you? Who were you at home? The compliant one? Right? Or, you know, the one who was picked on? The one who picked on the other kids? Right? Were you the eldest? The youngest? Were you mommy's favorite? Were you the perfect son or daughter? You know, were you the rebel? Were you the quiet one? Were you the quiet rebel? Right? Yeah, right? At church, who were you? Who have you been at church? The spiritual one? The serious Christian, right? The goofball, right? The one sort of getting by. Servant? Folk, I'm going to serve, right? Is that you? How about at work? The ambitious one there? The hard-working one? Who have you been through those times in your life, the seasons of your life? That's the external you. And while the external life was being lived, an internal story has also been unfolding. A journey that your heart was taking all along the way. The internal you is what we're referring to when we use the phrase your heart. Okay, it's not your emotions, it's the internal you. Your heart is who you really are underneath it all. Okay? Whether you're aware of it or not, your heart has also taken a journey. It's also had a life of its own. It worked through and registered every one of those same events that the external you experienced, right? and you know, in ways that those around you could never know, and in ways that, frankly, you were probably pretty unaware of. Your heart was processing those events and logging sort of conclusions about a lot of things. And over the years, our hearts and our internal worlds have experienced seasons of warmth, you know, nurture, kind of like a tomato plant in a greenhouse, you know. Your heart has experienced during those seasons messages that have come to it, often unspoken messages that have fed your heart, like, you really are loved. Can you think of some ways you might have heard that message throughout your life? Moments where you felt like you've heard that message, where your heart heard, I'm really loved. Or, you are among true friends. You're not alone. You've never been alone. Or messages like, there is something rich and beautiful unfolding in the world, and you're part of it. And it invites you up into it, and you are needed in what's going on around here. When I was 11, in our town, Merced, California, there's an edge of town. And at the edge of town, there's nothing, man. There's like flat trees and, you know, pasture and farmland and stuff like that. And at the edge of our town, I would ride my bike along the railroad tracks about 4 miles to the edge of town. And there was this new housing track. It was where the rich people bought their houses. Now it's a ghetto. But back many years ago, when I would ride my bike to it, and I found on the bike path that went around it this trail that goes off, right? And it was really cool, because it was like there were these eucalyptus trees and this sort of thicket stuff, and I saw this trail go through. It was big enough for a person to get through, and I kind of walked through these bushes and things, and I walked out, and this trail opens up, and it winds through, and it was like you're in another world. That's why I call it a secret trail. Because there was this creek that wound through it, and it was about 10 feet wide and it probably 10 feet deep, and it was really deep, muddy, brown water going through this thing, and then there was this old wooden bridge that went across it. And then off a ways, there were like these old shacks that were sort of broken down that I went and like, you know, rummaged in and tried to find little things. There were old like 1950s advertisement metal things, probably worth a lot of money, like Pepsi signs and stuff like that in there. I mean, it was like I had found an ancient mining town or some old ghost town. You know what I mean? And I was there alone, and I remember going and sitting on the bridge for what seemed like hours and just sort of daydreaming about. And this feeling came like there's something larger going on around here. You're a part of something mysterious in life that's very important, and you have a significant part to play in it. Have you ever experienced moments like that in your life? Almost like a voice coming to you, like this romance sort of calling to you. There's something more. Another time I experienced this was back when I was also 11, I first saw Star Wars. Now, when it came out, I saw it 27 times that first year. And this was the moment, okay? You've got this beautiful princess who's going, help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope, right? And then Obi-Wan says to Luke, right? You're going to have to, you know, learn the ways of a Jedi if you're going to come with me to Alderaan to save the princess. And I remember sitting there going and watching him in the face of this draw to this mission and this rescue. I remember and him going, I'm not going to Alderaan. I got to get back to the harvest. And I just remember going, no. You know, and I want to jump into your skin and I want to go, Obi-Wan, take me. Don't take that loser, you know. And I mean, it's like I so wanted to go on the mission with Obi-Wan and get trained to be a Jedi and rescue the shiny princess. Anyway, it's amazing. Can you relate to that feeling at all? A connection with something calling to you? Something larger going on? Kelsey, my daughter, shared She cut off two artificial sources to get a sense of deep connection that she was living on, right? Facebook and texting. And she didn't think much of it, right? But then the missing connection, losing that connection, having someone there by her side, that desire to be with someone always was so acute, she experienced it as a desperate ache. And it moved her, frankly, to despair. If you'd have seen her that morning. Something was calling to her, something that her heart was made to draw nourishment from, like an umbilical cord. Was it the same voice that was calling to me when I saw Star Wars and sitting on that bridge? Here's a letter to a friend of mine. I've been hearing a voice all my life. Not different voices, but the same voice. As a boy, it shouted to me from the pages of Louis L'Amour's books. I heard the voice say one day I would be the hero that I was reading about. I would be strong and courageous, faithful and true. I would always come through in the clutch for those I loved. And my heart would one day find my heroine. And together we would build a family and a life together. I knew there would be tough times, even defeats. We would sometimes suffer wounds and even lose battles and fights, but we would triumph in the end. The voice spoke to me through movies like Rocky, Uncommon Valor, Star Wars, The Man from Snowy River. Why can't I hear the voice all the time? Whose voice is it? Who is calling me and to what? Even though there's been these whispers on the wind, this drawing, this romance, our hearts have gone through some other seasons. Other messages that your internal world has experienced. Your heart has also endured many winters. Right? Where the messages have been a little different from you're a part of something large and involved in a great story that's unfolding. Let's roll this clip. It'll help us to think about this. Did you pick up the irony there of a new generation of surgical tools? You know, it's like, okay, that's where I want to get my surgical tools. Yeah, what's the message that your heart might pick up from that scene, or your driving into the parking lot of your workaday world? Despair, right? What else? Hopelessness. Monotony, yeah. You're a number, right? Life is work. It's dreary. Why even try? See, our hearts have experienced some warm incubation experiences. We've heard the romance. But we've also experienced cold, even darker messages. Times of freezing rain have delivered messages to our hearts that seem to contradict the romance. Which was the point of Lewis casting the White Witch into the role of in The Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe, who had cast a spell over Narnia so that it was always winter, right? The messages of winter have come to us, right? During these times, the messages sound more like nothing you do really matters. There's nothing unfolding that's beautiful that you're a part of. You're a dime a dozen, right? You really are on your own, and true friendship, lasting friendship, is not available. Not really, right? And you're not needed. And even if you were, you wouldn't have much to offer anyway. And maybe even there's something dark and twisted about you. And it's the heart that determines what to do with these darker messages, because the messages come unexpectedly throughout our lives, right? And we don't have time to sort of brace ourselves to deal with them. We don't have time to prepare. And often the messages come to root in our hearts without us even knowing they're there. They live subterranean. Can you think of any of those messages that have come to you over those same scenes as you looked back over your life? We sense that we were made for those things that Dr. Keating speaks of, love and beauty and romance and meaning, but there's these other messages to contend with, and often it feels like the darker messages are the ones that are most true about life. And a conflict ensues between the two messages and these two themes, creating an internal wrestling match inside of us, right? And we find ourselves in the throes of that wrestling match, maybe early in the morning, laying there in bed before the alarm clock rings, before our internal editor goes on duty, right? And we wrestle, right? No matter how entrenched you are in your career or your ministry or your family, the wrestling match expresses itself with thoughts like, is this it? Wasn't I made for more? Is the life I'm living it? What is going on here anyway? You ever have those moments? You ever have those thoughts? Is that unchristian to have those thoughts? You feel like, where's my faith? Oh, Christians have those wrestling matches. Yeah, to connect with our hearts in the romance, we almost have to go back to when we were young, before we filed for divorce, filed the divorce papers against our hearts. Okay? Because of the pain that we feel when we let our hearts sort of have a voice. Or maybe it's legal separation for you. But, we sort of put our hearts away. We don't want to hear from them, to kind of go about our lives. Any of you seen the movie Forrest Gump? A couple of you? How many of you seen it? A lot of you. It is a brilliant film. And part of the reason why it's brilliant is this, is Forrest represents, to get to your heart, you have to go to the younger places. The places before you sort of decided not to feel anymore. You know what I mean? And Forrest Gump really represents it because he's sort of stuck in childhood. Right? You sort of get this adult man who's experiencing the experiences of life as a child would. He goes to Vietnam and he experiences war through a child's heart. He comes back, he becomes famous ping pong, guy, and he experiences fame through a child's heart. And then he becomes this football star, and he experiences that through a child's heart. He experiences his wrestling matches of his mother and the emotional wrestling matches of his friend Dan, what's his name? Lieutenant Dan, right? And he experiences all these through the heart of a child, and then he experiences love. The love of his life, Jenny, through the heart of a child. We're going to look at a scene where Jenny is on her deathbed. She's got AIDS. And finally, they're together. And then she's laying in bed and she asks him, how did you experience Vietnam? And kind of goes through, he begins to go through memories. And I want you to notice while we roll this, notice what he remembers over his life. And notice how he contends with the conflicting messages of the romance and the winters. Okay? So let's roll this. We have these moments of connection. I love you, Forrest. You know, these moments that we for all wish that we could make time stand still and live in those moments, right? But they pass. And then the love of our life dies, right? And we feel this loss. And we see Forrest with the heart of a child trying to reconcile the two messages that have come in his life. See that? He's trying to contend with them. Life comes and unfolds, and the messages come, and they come to our hearts, and they're difficult to reconcile with our faith, right? Because all of this, you know, all of our busyness and our drivenness and just living simply to survive, our internal self, our hearts become restless and weary and vulnerable, and there's an ache that can be difficult to quiet, right? Like Kelsey experienced with the aloneness. And there's a... How do we deal with that ache? You experience that ache? How do you deal with it? It's a couple of different camps. One is we lock our hearts away in an attic of discipline and self-denial. We just decide that I'm not going to feel that way. I'm going to kind of deny that, and we sort of chain our hearts up and we sort of drive them along with whips, try to get them to knuckle down and obey us, right? Which works for a while, right? In another camp, others, we try to give our hearts a life on the side. You know, some hobby, affair, colorful fantasy life, a glass of wine at the end of the day, a movie every night before bed, some adventure to live in, right? Some juicy intrigue to feed this place in us that seems to cry out in hunger. We're either chasing something that will make our hearts feel alive, or we're trying to dull the ache that we don't feel alive. There's not this sense of transcendence, this sense of meaning in our lives. Back in 1994 through 96, I was a Mariner nut. Okay? Back in the glory days. All right, of Joey Cora and Edgar Martinez, right? And anyway, it was pre-texting, but you could sign up. I had a cell phone, but you could sign up with the Mariners to send every inning score to your phone. And so I was the Mariners guy. I mean, I had every inning of every game going to my phone. I knew everything, right? And then they started losing. Right? And losing, and a couple of seasons of them losing, I remember feeling like I turned off this texting thing. And I remember feeling, what am I going to do now? Where will I turn now? I was a youth pastor at this time. Okay? But this part of our hearts doesn't simply, you know, God included equals now it's satisfied. Okay? When we start to identify these places that we really live for, oh, I am drinking too much. Or, you know, I have turned into a husky's nut. Or I am watching a movie every night. Sometimes we think, maybe I should give it up. You ever do that? Contemplating really giving up any of those things for good reveals how much our hearts are really turning to them, right? To salve this ache, you know, like the Facebook and texting thing Kelsey shared, are, you know, have you ever contemplated giving something up for good and it felt like death? Like you're going to put your heart in solitary confinement? Like you actually feel hopeless. Which reveals that these are the things that I'm really holding on to, really living for, the taste of life that I'm getting. Our hearts must be satisfied. They must find life somewhere. It doesn't matter how well we've performed or what we've accomplished. A life without our heart is not worth living. Right? We need our hearts fully alive. Think of the expressions we use. Help identify this expression. Call it out. Okay? Someone without compassion is called what? Heartless. When describing our deepest hurts, they are called what? Heartaches. Right? When love is rejected or betrayed, we are heartbroken. Good job. When someone is truly evil, they are, huh? heartless or cold-hearted or black-hearted. When someone is a saint, they have a heart of gold. You guys are great. When we have an intimate conversation, it is said to be heart-to-heart. When we're filled with joy and fun, we're feeling light-hearted. When we're referring to all of me, I'm speaking of being wholehearted, right? And when I've experienced loss of passion, then my heart is not in it, right? Proverbs 4, God says, above all else, above your marriage, above your job, above your faith, above all else, guard what? Why? Because out of it comes everything. It is everything, right? All true caring comes from your heart. All meaningful work, all real worship, all true sacrifice, our faith, our hope, our love flow from the heart. It is your heart that is said to be the dwelling of God. It's the part of you He covets. Take a look at God speaking here in Isaiah 29. These people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips. What's God thinking here? But their hearts are far from me. See where He's at? What matters to God? Right? Think about this. This is the part that Jesus appealed to. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, if you have this longing, if you have this hunger, this desperation, that's what I want to connect with. That's the part of you. If your heart wants more, that's what I want to connect with. And then He said, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And I'll raise him up on the last day. That romancing that you felt, even when it's a pain and an ache of not having what you want, it's the romance. It's the drawing of God to call to you to come and be satisfied. Listen to David as he laments. I look to my right and see no one is concerned for me. I have no refuge. No one cares for my life. Have you ever felt like that? I cry to you, O Lord. I say, you're my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Listen to my cry, for I am in desperate need. So he's desperate. See? To lose heart is to lose everything. And loss of heart is the phrase that best describes men and women of our day. Would you agree? To lose heart is to lose everything. And we live in a society that has lost heart. In a church, nationwide, that's not living out of its heart, or people are not living out of wholeheartedness. Right? We've lost heart. Why? Why have we lost heart? A few different reasons. One, the habitat for the heart has been dismantled by the age of reason and science. Okay? Let me describe to you a sunset. All right? See, the dust particles in the atmosphere, when you're looking at them through a greater amount of the atmosphere, because it's straight across the atmosphere, there's more of the dust particles. They reflect the light of the sun, and it creates this color in the sky. How's that grab you? Right? Hey, there's this artist who is in love with you, who paints the sky. He set things up so you see a new painting, a new artwork every day. How's that grab you? Right? See how we've dismantled it by the age of reason? Another thing that we've reason why we've lost heart is we've dragged the beauty and mystery meant to awaken the heart through the mud. Right? With counterfeit romancers, a sexual intimacy that's left us feeling that something incredibly important has been tarnished or lost. You know, or maybe a compromise of the truth to acquire something that we thought mattered, but we found the sense of satisfaction wane minutes after we put it in the garage. Right? And then I think the greatest reason why I've lost heart is this. We've been taught along the way that we'll be wanted for other things in our hearts. Right? What we really want you for is what you can offer functionally. Right? The rich are wanted for their wealth, the intelligent for their brains, the beautiful for their looks. Right? And so we offer that which is approved, and we begin to live a double life, divorced from our hearts. Right? And the person we offer is a carefully crafted performance to gain acceptance from those who represent life to us and not our true selves, not our true hearts. Frederick Buchner said this: the original shimmering self gets buried so deeply we hardly live out of it at all. Rather, we learn to live out of all the other selves that we put on and take off constantly against the world's weather, like hats and coats. What you is here today? The true story of every person is not the story you see, the external story. The true story is the journey their heart has taken over the course of their life. That's what's defined them. But it's this part of you, the shimmering, original shimmering self, your heart, that you were so much more in touch with when you were young. That's the part that longs for meaning, connection, love, beauty, mystery, adventure. It's that part of you that God has been calling to every moment of every day of your life. And it's that part that's been the focus of His pursuit: to find, to restore, to heal, to know, to be with. And it's that part of you that we need to get back. I don't care how far you've journeyed at Adventure Church in what we call the healing journey or all of that stuff that we've talked about over the years. We are far from wholehearted. And so we're starting kind of looking back at that now. In the next weeks, we're going to be asking the question, you know, what needs to happen to awaken our hearts, to get them back, to get them healthy, and to find God through them. And today was just a part. My goal today was just to start stirring things, to begin to get us asking the question: is there more that I can have? Can I be more alive? Do I want to be? Because to get there, you're going to have to do some dangerous things. The most dangerous is to really look at your heart. So I'm going to pray. And we're going to have folks that would love to pray with you. If you have anything going on that you just like prayer for, we're going to just reserve the front row here for you to come up and sit. And it can be anything. And also, I'm going to pray for our offering basket in the back. And so would you join me? Lord Jesus, You have set within us longing and desire that just cannot be filled here by any of the things we turn to. And Lord, there's this romancing and there's this equation, this wrestling match that, if we're honest, we face regularly. And Lord, somehow through it, it's rigged for us to find You. Not in denial or pretending that the things that matter don't, but Lord, meant to find You because You've made our hearts in such a way to interface with You. Lord, I pray that You'd lead us into that. But first, Lord, I know that You just want to awaken us. You just want to get us back to maybe desiring for more. Maybe entertaining. Could there be more? Lord, I know our hearts are telling us the truth. There is more that we can have. There is more that we can live with You and in this life. And so, Lord, pray that You would open up that journey for us in the weeks to come. Lord, for the offering. I just want to thank you for the way you've blessed Adventure Church and met our needs. Lord, pray that you continue to do that. As we give to you, Lord, we want to give out of a heart that says we love you and generously. So, Lord, would you receive these things as a offering to you in Jesus' name. Amen. And I would like to just leave you with an assignment. If you don't have a journal, get one. And what I would encourage you to journal about, if you would, every day, a little bit, is this question. Okay? It's very hard to remember, so pay attention. The question is, what do I want? Just write that question down and think about it and write in some answers this week, okay? Have a great rest of your Sunday. Thank you so much for coming.